Good morning. Last Sunday, the Lord gave me a message of concerning the chastenings of the Lord and the purpose for those. And after I was on my way home, I realized that the Lord had given me a lot more that I didn't pass on. So I felt that we need to continue the thought today. I'd like to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and look at some of the verses in there again. Beginning at 1, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." I'd like to speak a little bit more from these verses. He said that the Lord led you in this wilderness 40 years to humble you. And I feel that as Christians, maybe we get past the temptations of this world of sin. Many times we feel like that we don't even have a desire to do those things anymore. And we really want to live for the Lord, and we've told the Lord so. And we've asked the Lord to do what it takes to get us to heaven. And we've consecrated to him. And we feel like that we are the Lord's as far as we can understand. And sometimes we get pretty complacent. We get to trusting in our consecration and in our desire to live for the Lord. And we don't maybe fight against wickedness and evil and sin as much as we used to. It's just kind of like, well, this is what I do now, and this is my life. And you know, the temptation for a consecrated, dedicated Christian, one who feels like he's all out for the Lord, you know, one of the biggest temptations that we face is to grow proud, spiritually proud, and have self-righteousness begin to be motivating what we do. And that's one of the temptations of a Christian who's walked with the Lord a long time. And he's telling the children of Israel here, the things that I took you through were to humble you. There's four things that he mentions here. They were to humble you, and they were to prove you, to know what was in your heart, and to see if you would keep his commandments or no. And he talks several times here, did you notice, about keeping the Lord's commandments? He, in first verse, in the second verse, he talks about how that we live by the word of the Lord in the third verse. And then the sixth verse, he talks about a heart that he wanted them to have to keep his commandments, walk in his ways, and to fear him. The Lord doesn't ever want us to get past that. even if we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, I don't think he wants us to ever get past the fear and trembling part. Sometimes we get pretty confident and bold and we think, well, I've got this. But I believe he sends us things into our lives to bring us back to the fear and trembling part, to where we reverence him and we realize that he's the giver, and that we're the recipient. We're not. Sometimes the enemy or our flesh, however it is, would have us to feel like that we're kind of directing him now. We're kind of, since we've been living this way for so long, we just kind of have this. But he wants us, he sends us things to bring us right back to the thought, Lord, I can't do any of this without you. Lord, I can't, I don't know how to walk. I need you every step. I need you every moment. How does the Lord do that? Many times he does it with allowing us to fail. Helping us to realize, you know, you're really weak without me. You really don't have this. You need to trust in me. Even though you've been living for me for a long time, you need to trust in me. You need to put every step, every breath, realize that it's in my hand. And so the Lord does things in our lives to humble us. And that's pretty much the thought of our little message today, is that he wants to, he must, in order for us to make heaven, in order for us to be used by him. I mean, we get to where, if we get self-righteous and puffed up and proud in our knowledge and our understanding and our experience, and we rely on our experience and our wisdom, and well, we've passed through this and we've gone through this, and we just pretty well know what the ways of the Lord, and we've been doing this a long time. If we lean on that, we can't really be used of him to help others. And he wants to use us. We are his disciples to go out and to win others. But he can't use us for that if we get all closed in and we begin to just kind of be our own mold, so to speak. He wants us to continue to be pliable. He wants us to continue to be lowly in our estimation of ourselves, continually fear before him, or be very sensitive to displeasing him, be very aware of our limitations and our needs before him. So he sends us. He sends us things. He leads us through things. He said, all this way which the Lord has led you to humble you and to prove you and to know what's in your heart, whether you'll keep his commandments or no. I think of how the Lord has such a desire for us to keep his commandments. Why? Because it's for our good. His desire for us to keep his commandments centers on our welfare. He knows that when we keep his word in our heart, there's much, much good and blessing that comes out of that. Remember the promise that Jesus gave in John 15, where he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We were singing about that in number 202 a while ago. I've learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I've found the strength and the sweetness of confiding in his word. If we go through our days with just kind of a practiced lifestyle of this is the way we live now, where I'm righteous, I don't do any of the sin stuff, but we don't really live with his word in us and in our minds, we kind of just, you understand what I'm saying? We can almost begin to live apart from his word because we're just so good at it. And then the Lord sends us something and helps us to realize you're not good at this. You're really needing of me. And he wants us to live constantly bringing his word to mind, calling upon him for help. When you do that, that's the secret of abiding in the Lord. He sends us things to help us to abide in him, is what I'm trying to say. to prove us, to see if we'll keep his commandments or no, to see if we'll constantly lean on him. He wants us to do that because he knows we can't do it by ourselves. And so the things that he leads us through always have that end, to keep us low before him, to keep us trembling before him, to keep us leaning on him, to keep us remembering and recalling his word, standing on his promises. Every day as you go through the day, the things that come about to bring back a portion of his word to your mind, to strengthen you and help you, a promise or a commandment. That's what it means to keep his word, is to recall it, to live by it. The things that I do because this is what the Lord said to do. And don't just live that way. This is the way I live now. But to live because, Lord, your word says. I find that it is a blessing to go through the day talking to the Lord and recalling what he said to you, to him again. When we pray, if you're praying for something, recall his promises. Dear Lord, we come before you today realizing that we need you, and then recall a word to him. Lord, you said, your word says that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Or maybe you're in need of grace, to the strength to love the unlovely, and you recall those words. Lord, you told us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. So I need your love. And then maybe if you need wisdom for a situation, recall that promise to yourself from the Lord. If any man lack wisdom. Lord, you said if any man lack wisdom. I find that's how we can abide in the Lord. And that's how his word can abide in us. And when you and I live that way, when we live depending constantly and recalling constantly the word of the Lord, it gives you not a self-confidence, but it gives you a sweet confidence and trust in the Lord that when I pray and ask the Lord now for help, I know he's going to do this because I'm living in him and abiding in him, and he's abiding in me, and I'm constantly trusting in his word. It's a promise that's true. It really works. That promise. And that's really the kind of life that the Lord wants us to have. It's not just that I keep all the rules. That's not what keep his commandments means. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that I'm just living by a code. But it means that I put what he wanted me to do, and his promises and his will and his desires for me, I constantly recall that, and it abides in my heart. And that's what motivates my life. I love because he loved. I love because his word in me reminds me and strengthens me to love. I'm maybe not bringing that out as good as it is, but there's something so deep here that the Lord constantly, he constantly brings us and leads us into situations to do this. And I call it chastening, but if you really look at it, it's a deep love and tender care that he has for us, that we don't walk our own way, but he constantly brings us back to walk in his ways. And he does this by the things that he brings us through. Here he says, I suffered you to hunger. I allowed you to do without. And there's times in our lives that the Lord will pull out some of the things in our lives that we love, that we lean on, and we always supported us, and that we just trusted would always be there. And then seems like that the Lord just pulls them out from under us. And now you don't have this. Can you live? Can you be happy? Can you be joyful? Even though you don't have this physical, literal, living, breathing substance or whatever, or this material possession, or this this health and strength, maybe you can't get around and you can't even get about unless you just ask the Lord continually, give me strength. You know, that's something the Lord puts in our lives for a reason. Maybe he sees that if we were just so strong that we could just constantly go about with every thought of him, you know, I'm just strong, I'm just, that it wouldn't be good for us spiritually. But when every step and every breath is, Lord, I need you. Lord, I just need you to help me. Lord, just strengthen me for this little task. Whenever we live that way, there's a sweetness and a joy there of because I'm abiding in the Lord. There's another scripture I wanted to get. It's in 2 Corinthians, the last part of the book there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, I want to get something here in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And the verses in 24, 25, 26. Look at the list of things that the Lord led Paul through. He talks about of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. So 5 times getting beaten, 39 stripes. That's a lot of whipping. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. You think that didn't bring Paul to an awareness that he was dependent on the Lord? In journeyings often. And that could be so weary. I know how weary a person can get having to go on a trip often. And his trips weren't anything like ours. We hop in a heated car and go. But think about Paul and what kind of journeys. I mean, we look for the nice hotel along the road. You know, they just looked for the best little cave they could find. I mean, they didn't have what we have. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He had that. Look over in also in chapter 6. Here are the things that the Lord proved him with. Chapter 6 and verse 4. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In much patience or endurance, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. I guess the deceivers would be, sometimes he had the reputation, people perceived him that way, and yet in himself he knew he was true. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. These are some of the things that New Testament saints went through. What was the purpose and what was the end of it? Chapter 12 now, verse 7. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I wonder this morning, we could all say this if we really follow the Lord all the way and we intend to have His blessing on our lives and we pray for it to be so. And we're earnest and sincere. Lord, I want to yield all to You. I want to go to heaven. I want to be all that You want me to be. There's going to be something given to us to make that happen in our lives. And we don't need to fight it. We need to remember these words. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The Lord's taken me at my word. I told Him I wanted to serve Him with all my heart. He's going to humble me, and He's going to prove me, and He's going to give something to me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Who does that make you think of? In the Old Testament. He did this with Job. He allowed Satan to have at him for a while. Satan had to ask permission. Nothing that he did didn't go through the Lord first. But God gave him. He gave him restrictions. He gave him restraints. But He let him have some access to Job's life. Paul too. It was a messenger of Satan. It buffeted him. It gave him a prick in his flesh, something that was constantly reminding him, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what Jesus said to him. Is it in red in your Bible? In my Bible, it's red words. That lets me know that's what Jesus said. Then Paul said, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. What does that word mean? Now, I give thanks in my sicknesses. I am joyful. I give praise to the Lord. I celebrate. I appreciate. This is what he's saying. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and all these things that we had read just a little bit ago, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, that's something that the human doesn't want to find out. But if we could just endure with the Lord, go through what He has for us to go through, accept what is given to us, take His yoke, which I want to go to that scripture in just a minute. If we do that, we'll find out the secret. We'll find out that when we're doing without, when we're suffering, when we're weak, when we don't feel like we have it, that's when the strength and the power of Christ is most manifest to us and through us. Now, we don't want that place. As humans, we don't want to go through that place. But that's what the Lord, I don't know why, except that it is for our good. It's better for us. If we come through a place where we feel so weak and are so weak, and His strength is manifest in us. Now I want to go to what Jesus said about coming to Him and what He wants us to do. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's something that goes along with self-righteousness and pride. You know what it is? It's a load of care. It's a weightiness that we really, it will weigh us down in our spiritual life. It's a burden that we don't need to bear. Here's one of the things that happens when somebody's self-righteous and self-complacent, dependent on their own self and proud. They feel it their duty to judge others. And did you know that's a terrible burden to bear? God never wanted us to bear the duty of being a judge and criticizing others. He said, one place in the scripture says, you are wearied in the greatness of your way. Being so proud and lifted up brings with it an awful weight of weariness and care. The Lord doesn't want us to go through life like that. He wants us to come to Him, and He wants to give us rest. There's a song in our book, number 201, it says, humility. Something about someone. Let me find that. I can't get the right words at the beginning. Humility. How calm the breast that knows thy peace sublime. Within thy courts our perfect rest grows sweeter all the time. Did you know there's a connection between humility and soul rest? There's a connection between a person who's heavy laden with a lot of burdens and cares and their own self-esteem and their own pride and their own weightiness of person that they carry around. Like, you know, I'm just, it's my duty to judge and to make sure everybody's okay. And that's not a duty the Lord wants us to have. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The thing about a yoke is, it's a connector. A yoke has two sides. It's never intended. He never intended to lasso us and then haul us around and make us do things. But He says, you take my yoke. It's a yoke. It has two sides. He's in one side and we're in the other. He said, you take my yoke and learn of me. I think it's more like learn with me. Learn what I learned. Learn through suffering. Learn, and He said, it said of Christ, He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. He's saying, you take my yoke. Take the discipline that I disciplined with when I was here on earth. You take that and learn of me. And He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's what we need to learn. We need to learn how to humble ourselves. Remember last message was, how do we go through the chastenings? It was said of Christ, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. This is how we go through. This is what the Lord does things for us for, is to humble and to help us. Now in Lamentations 3, He speaks about a yoke. He's talking about the chastenings that the Lord was bringing the children of Israel through. He says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. This is what the Lord brings us to when He puts us through the chastening rod. When He humbles us, we come to this point. We see that if it weren't for the Lord's mercies, we'd be consumed by what we're going through. And it gives us great hope in our troubles. Lord, as I look and I recall this to my mind, I have great hope. It's of your mercies that this thing isn't killing me. I'm going through it and I'm making it. Lord, this is what is so wonderful. The Lord is my portion. He's taught me how to lean on Him. He's taught me how to get my strength and my grace from Him. Therefore, will I hope in Him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him. Have you found that this morning in your trials? David said, Lord, thou art good and doest good. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. And this is what things do for us too. It is good that we both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. This is what the Lord wants to bring us to. You see the striving, you see the proud lifting up of ourselves against the restraints and the constraints of the Lord. But if we would just surrender, and if we would just hope and quietly wait for his time of deliverance, it says it's good. It's good for us. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now that's opposite from this world's thought. In this world today, people have the idea that youth should have no yoke, no restraints. It's a time to run wild and to just sow your wild oats and then come and bear discipline and some kind of restraint. But this says, this is God's word. It is good that a man, for a man, that he bear the yoke in his youth. God's ways are higher than our ways. There's a lot of good that will come out. You can't see it now. What is the song that says, stand still and let God move? And one place in it says, you can't see it now. I can't remember what the words are, but it's talking about this subject. There's good for this in this trial that you may not see it now. The Lord's there. There's never been a moment when his arms weren't reaching out. The Lord's there. He's there. Where there's his yoke, he's there. Because it's a yoke that connects us to Christ. When we're bearing his yoke, that's one thing that Satan would have us forget, is that Christ is nowhere around. He's just making you suffer. It's not true. The yoke is between, it's with him and me. He's in it with me. That's a wonderful thing about his yoke. That's why he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the Lord, let's read on here about the attitude of someone who is bearing the yoke. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. Did you know there's good in learning to keep silence? The human wants to speak. The human wants to gripe. The human wants to figure it out. The human wants to protest, to blame. But you know what? It's just good when the Lord puts something on us and then he says, you be quiet and wait. Just be quiet. Don't complain. Don't gripe. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell your mama. Don't tell. Just bear it. It's good for us to have things in our lives where we can't tell anybody but him. The Lord brings us through to things like that. He wants us to lean on him. It's good for us. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. That seemed like to me that's the process of humbling. All the way down to my mouth's hitting the ground. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. There's something in that for us, I think. Many times we turn from the chastening rod and we try to avoid it. But this says, just give to it. Just give to it. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He doesn't do it because he likes to hurt us, is what this is saying. To crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth. He doesn't do it because he's bigger. He doesn't do it because he's more powerful. He does it for our good. He really does. To turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. I believe that we can look at the Lord and say, Lord, everything you do is good. Everything you do is just. Everything you do is in mercy to my soul. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Here he is comparing the abilities and the ways of men to the Lord. Can you speak and something come to pass when the Lord didn't command it? No. We're not anything compared to the Lord. Out of the mouth of the Lord proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore or why does a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search. Now this is definitely, they were going through a time where they were being punished for their sins. That's not always the way that the Lord is dealing with us. It's not good for us to always think when something bad happens, oh, I'm being punished for something. I like to think of it like this is something that the Lord is doing for me. Not to me. He's doing this not to punish me, but to lead me and to prove me and to keep me abiding in him, which is good for me. These people in this reading, they were being punished, but the attitude that they were to take was to be the same. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Oh, it goes on and on and on. I like the 55th verse. It says, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. I believe that if we, in our lowest times, if we can do just this, lift up our heart with our hands, search and try our ways, fear and tremble before him, seek to abide in him and have his word abide in us, I believe we'll be able to look up and see the mercy of the Lord. One more. Let me just get this and end with this. In James. James chapter 5, verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I believe Paul, after all that he went through, I believe he was saying, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I believe we all could say that whatever we endure, when we get to the end and look back, we'll say, the Lord's been very merciful.